Well, good morning and welcome to our service this morning. We're really grateful to the choir for starting us off. Nathan's going to be speaking later on about kicking those bad habits or confronting them. And so sin and forgiveness were very much on my mind as I was preparing this morning. So let's come to the author and creator of our salvation in prayer, shall we? Father God, we know that salvation belongs to you, and without your intervention in our lives, we could do nothing to save ourselves. So, Lord, we thank you for all that you do. Lord, we thank you that you forgive 49 times 49 times 49,000. And, Lord, we pray that you would be with us today and that you would open our minds and see into our hearts and the things that we have to change and deal with, that you would put your finger on those things. And Lord, we thank you that you offer us the only way, the blood of Christ, to do that. So Father, we thank you for your salvation, and we pray that you will be glorified in this service this morning as we gather together. Amen. Amen. I want to read a little few verses from Hebrews. Just a few that sort of speak about that salvation. Hebrews 9, starting at verse 22, and it talks about the law first. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. It was necessary then for the copies of these heavenly things to be purified with these sacrifices, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. So we can't purify the temple ourselves. For Christ did not enter a man-made sanctuary that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Then Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But now he has appeared once and for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just as man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. And our songs this morning talk about that forgiveness that no one else could achieve for us. So if you're able, let's stand and start to sing together, "You Alone Can Rescue." Amen. Father, we do thank you for all that you do in our lives. And we agree and we say with our hearts and our mind, to you alone belongs the highest praise. And Lord God, we thank you for your mercy to us. As we sing, what love could remember, no wrongs we have done. Omniscient, all-knowing, he counts not their sum. That's a good job too. His mercy is more. And we praise him for that mercy and that he shows his gentleness and his compassion to us as well. You discipline the ones you love, but there's kindness in your majesty, O sacred King. Thank you. And we couldn't have bridged that gap ourselves. But Lord, you took the first step and made the move towards our salvation from the very beginning of time. Oh, Father, we praise and glorify you now. Amen. Please do be seated. Take your seats as we glorify him. I've got quite an array here before me. So I come to that time in the service while the children are still with us. And it's great to have you with us. I've been all week, I've been advertising this afternoon service at 3:30 as an all-age service, but really this one is too. It is great to see everyone of all ages in the church this morning. So, does anyone who's here, have they had a birthday in the last few days or in the next few days? Yes! I was warned, come on down. Oh, Flavy was yesterday as well. Okay. Happy birthday, Flavy. So, remind me of your name. Louisa. I remember Georgia and Louisa, but I couldn't remember which way round. So, Louisa, how old were you? Or are you?
Nine and yesterday.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you. Well, that's good. So, 22nd, okay, 9. Okay, what would you like to take from the birthday box? Perfect, okay. Let's sing happy birthday, and we'll sing it for Flavy as well yesterday, and anyone else, any of the older part of the congregation, then you're welcome to feel that this is for you too. So let's sing to Louisa. Brilliant. I have to remember that. Lead the third week in January and the fourth week. I should be a sure thing. Let's pray for all of our children and their group leaders. We really appreciate all that you do. And we'll pray for you, and then we will remain seated and sing as you leave us. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for all ages who are here. Lord, we thank you for the children and youth that make up this fellowship this morning. And Lord, we pray that you would be with them as they go to their groups. And Lord, we ask that you would bless the leaders. And Father, we do pray for more leaders to come forward. Lord, thank you that we have an abundance, which is a beautiful abundance to have to deal with. And Father, we pray for our new service this afternoon as well at 3:30. We ask that you would be with us and all who are preparing for that, and ask that we would glorify you and bring families into this place for fellowship and worship together. So Lord, bless us, we pray, and bless the children as they learn different things in their groups and they go out to their groups now, Lord. Amen. So we're going to remain seated and sing that there is a new song in my heart. When I was lost, you came and lifted me.
Thank you.
let's come to a time of prayer. There are lots of prayer needs in our family congregation at the moment, and the wider family, those who aren't able to meet with us during the Sunday morning services. So we will pray for them now at this time. Our Father, we thank you that you have put a new song in our hearts, and we can bring everything to you. We stand firm on the rock, and we know that we can rely on you, though the world may fail us, though our leaders and politicians may fail us. We can rely on you, and Lord, we want to give you our hearts this morning and to bring to you all the glory and honor that is due your name. And Lord, we don't come lightly. It's a holy name. So Father, we come before you and we say that we don't always do the right thing. And we are seeking your forgiveness this morning. And Lord, we don't always have an answer for the things that are going on in our lives and the lives of others, for those who are failing and frail, and Lord, for those who are suffering from different conditions. But Lord, we know that you have strength enough. So Father, we bring all of those people to you who really need a touch from you in our extended family this morning. Lord, we pray for Eddie's family. Father, we pray for Andrew, and we ask that you would strengthen him on Wednesday, and Lord, you would enable him to be here. And Father, we pray for the rest of the family, that as they say goodbye to Mom or Grandma, that you would be with them. And Father, we do pray for those who are too frail to join us. Lord, we ask that you would pour out your blessing upon them. And Lord, we ask that you would heal and make strong. And Father, we pray for those who suffer from pain so much. And we just ask that you would heal that pain, Lord, that you would give a lightness to their soul. And Father, we pray for those who are really struggling at the moment. We know how difficult it is to manage everything at the moment. And Lord, we pray for those who need a touch of comfort and support from you. And we pray that you would bless them and pour out your goodness into their lives and into their hearts and minds. So Lord, be with us, we pray. Lord, as we come to a time of hearing your word, we ask that you would really be with Nathan. Lord, as he speaks against sin, then we know that it's a battle and it needs to be won. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to win the battle in our lives. Father, we bring all of this to you. Amen. This song, we had to sing it this week because one part of it was in my mind from way before last week even. And it says, far as the east is from west, you have removed my transgressions. You make my life brand new. So just before Nathan comes to speak to us, let's stand and sing, I Stand Amazed.
What a beautiful, beautiful song. That our lives can be made brand new, not just because there's a turn in the chapter of a new year, but our lives can be made new and continue to be made new because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit that is at work within each and every one of us who trust in Him. Well, good morning to each and every one of you. So good to see. Good morning. So good to see you all in the house of the Lord, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and we are here to rejoice and to be glad in it. Now, I know it's cold outside, and I know some of us would rather be under the covers, some hot chocolate and some marshmallows. But I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. And I'm here to give Him praise and give Him thanks for all that He has done. All right. Well, I want to get right into the word. I'm not going to hold you long because we want to invite you all back to meet us here for 3:30. It'll be good to have the same number of people here. All of you here, your seat will be waiting for you again at 3:30. So I'm not going to hold you long. So I want to get right into the word. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and I'm going to commence reading from verse number 12. Let's just pray before I read. Father, we thank you again for your presence that we feel amongst us. We thank you, Lord, that this is indeed your day, and we're here to rejoice and to be thankful for all that you have done for us, for sustaining and keeping us throughout the course of this week. And now, Lord, as we come to hear a word from you, we need you, Lord. We recognize, Lord, that these are serious and challenging times in which we're living in, and we need a word from you. We don't need a word from BBC News or Sky News, but we need a word from you. So would you speak to us today, minister to each and every one of us, and thank you that you have all power to meet us at the very area of our need. I pray you'll anoint my lips, my mouth. Anoint me from the crown of my head to the sole of my very feet as your servant, Lord, that I may preach and make known the mystery of your gospel with boldness and with clarity. Bless us all, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, we're continuing now. This is part 4 of our Life Reboot series. As I mentioned earlier, the whole purpose of this series has been to encourage us all that a new life or a fresh start or wanting and desiring for things to be different this year for us, for our families, in our lives, it's all dependent not on writing goals, and that's good and we should do that, but ultimately it's based on God, His power, His word, and His spirit at work within us. And we've been looking at some of those negative things in our lives. Last week we looked at failures. How do we overcome failures? If we want to move forward in our lives, then we can't just dwell on the past, on things we've done in the past. So we talked about how to overcome moments of failure last week. But this week we're going to dig a little deeper into some of those niggly, more ingrained habits. Some of those things in our lives that are very hard to get rid of. And we want things to be different this year. We want to grow spiritually, don't we? It's one of our goals as a church. And we're going to have to confront some of those niggly, ingrained habits that we all have, all of us. And we're going to try and confront them today through God's word. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and I'm going to read from verse 12. And the word of the Lord reads like this. Paul says, I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. You say food for the stomach and stomach for the food, and God will destroy them both. The body, however, is not meant for sexual immorality, but it's for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Flee sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside of the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Amen. I want to read the key verse this morning once more, verse number 12. And it reads, I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. In the Message, Eugene Peterson puts it this way, just because something is technically legal, it doesn't mean that it's spiritually appropriate. If I went around doing whatever I thought I could get by with, I'd be a slave to my whims. I'd become a slave to my whims. Now, church, the fitting question that we must all ask ourselves as we journey together as a church family and also individually as members of the body of Christ, that journey is the goal that we have set towards spiritual growth in all of our lives. And the question is, how are we going to realize that? That when we arrive by the grace of God at December 2023, and we reflect and we look back over the course of this year, and now you know how time moves fast, so it won't be long. And as we sit back and reflect over the course of this year, each and every one of us, I'm encouraging us to reflect on how our spiritual journey has been this year. Have we been able to identify spiritual growth in our lives this year? And one of the key words that is very important for us to grasp this year is the word, if we want to achieve and grow spiritually, is number one, here it is, consistency. Can we say that together? Consistency. Yeah, consistency. Consistently simply means someone who always behaves in the same way, has the same attitudes towards people or things, or achieves the same level of success in something. In other words, there's a sense of being steady. There's a sense of being well-balanced, regular, stable, even keel. And the challenge for each and every one of us, church, is that we are called not just to be what I like to call SMOs Christians. SMO. You know what that means? Sunday morning only Christians. Yeah, SMOs. Sunday is the day for worship. Sunday is the day to give God praise. Sunday is the day to be in the house of the Lord with our brothers and sisters in Christ, to sing songs of worship, to hear the preached word. And yes, Sunday is a day for us where we come together. And yes, we can look the part spiritually on a Sunday. We can sing beautifully. But the challenge for us is, does the tune of our song remain the same on Tuesday? Is there a level of consistency in our spiritual lives that our worship reflects the same level of consistency on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? Or have we succumbed to that reality of being an only Sunday morning only Christian? And the reason why we cannot just settle at being a Sunday morning only worshiper is because God desires to have intimacy, to have a relationship with us much more than just a Sunday, but every day. He desires to walk with us, to lead us, to guide us, to encourage us on our way, to strengthen us in His word. He desires to fill every single day of the week with His joy, His love, His grace, and yes, His wisdom, so that we can live our lives each day in being a pleasing offering to Him of worship and praise. And habits, I believe, friends, are the enemy to consistency. Bad habits, if you will. Bad habits can eat away at consistency. Habits which literally mean a settled or a regular tendency or practice, especially one that is hard to give up. So habit, I'm not talking about here just the slip of a moment, an isolated situation. But a bad habit is something that has become almost second nature to us. We find them difficult to let go. It's like a daily battle, sapping away at our spiritual reservoirs. It's settled. It's a regular tendency or practice. It's hard to give up. And I want to ask us now, just to reflect in the corners of our minds, what are some of those habits that we know that we struggle with on a daily basis? What are some of those things that we struggle to let go of? What are some of those areas in our lives that we know as children of God that are not pleasing to Him, but yet still they're really difficult to let go? And church, let's face it, let's be open and transparent. The reason why some of those bad habits are so difficult to curb is because although as Christians we recognize that those habits may be sinful or against God's word, however, to the flesh, to our human nature, some of those habits, they gratify the flesh. They appease the flesh. They may be a bitter perfume to God, but oh, they're a sweet taste to the flesh. To our flesh, some of our habits may be sweeter than the honey on the honeycomb. Some of our habits, they may even make us feel good in the moment, but after, they leave us hanging, gripped in shame. You know, last week, Anna was making her way from our parents to church, and she called me, and she said, "Nathan, it's happened again. My car tire. Yes, I've got a puncture. I'm struggling to make my way round to church." Now, you have to understand, church, this has been a regular occurrence for Anna. Over the past 3 months, I've had several calls. "Nathan, my car tire is on again. Again, it's happened again," and she's becoming more and more frustrated because her tire has given way. And it was at that moment last week, because the AA came out, because these modern cars now, they don't have spare tires. So now they come out and they just patch you up and send you to the nearest place where you can get a replacement tire. So we had to make our way to the local Quick Fit just around the corner from here to change the tire. But it was at that moment that the Lord sent me an email from heaven. He sent me an email from heaven. I downloaded the email, and it all began to make sense as to what I was to share this week. Because for many of us, as we come into a new year, just like that car that's driving on the road, and we're heading to a destination of spiritual growth. We're heading to that destination that we're going to grow this year in our faith with Christ. But just like Anna's car, we run into potholes. We run into a nail, and there was a massive nail in her tire that pierced through the tire and stopped her in her tracks. And just like in a similar fashion, church, those negative habits in our lives, they sabotage and they stop us from arriving at our destination that we desire. They stop us in our tracks as we seek to grow spiritually. Those potholes in the road, those nails scattered that we can't see, and they stop us from growing forward in what the Lord would desire us to see. So today, I want to encourage us that now is the time that we don't just sit back and allow these habits, whatever they are, to beat us up year after year, to stop us in our tracks. But now is the time for the child of God to say, enough is enough. And by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, we are going to take authority in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are going to confront those bad habits. It's just like a few weeks ago, me and Anna, we was at Blue Water Shopping Center. And, you know, as we're getting married this year, she's, you know, been saying, you know, Nathan, I've got goals. I want to lose this amount of weight to get in the dress and all this kind of stuff. You know, and I've got my goals too. I want to get to the gym, and I still, Lord, my witness, I haven't been to the gym once this year so far. So I'm failing miserably. But as we was walking around, and on that, those of you who've been to Blue Water, on the second floor, there's a, as you start to walk around, there's a smell that you'll notice. It's a smell coming, emanating from a shop called Krispy Kremes. And I tell you, whenever I walk past Krispy Kremes, that is a test of your willpower. A real test of your willpower. That if you're trying to eat consistently and trying to eat the right things, if you walk past that second floor on Blue Water and you walk past Krispy Kremes, it is very hard just to walk past. Not go in and buy yourself a dozen glazed, iced glazed. Oh, they're beautiful. I'm getting hungry even now. But these habits, whatever they are, they're hard to curb. And as we transition now to the church in Corinth, we see in a similar manner, the Corinthian Christians, they too were struggling with bad habits that they themselves had developed over a long period of time, because those habits, those lifestyles, it was predominant in their culture. The Corinthian culture, when you do your research, you'll find it was a very idolatrous culture. It was plagued with sexual immorality and perversion. So the Christians who have been called out of that, they had received the gospel message that Paul preached, and now they are walking and trying to walk with the Lord. But yet still, they are living in the same environment. The Corinthian environment that is still idolatrous, that is still plagued with immorality, and that is still so far away from what God desires for the Christian. And that is true for all of us today. The Bible says that we are to live in the world, but not to be off the world. We're not called to live as monks and just to separate ourselves. But we're to live in the world, but not to be off it. In other words, we're to dwell in the world, to have an impact in the world and the community in which we're living in, but we're not to succumb. succumb to the lifestyle and the practices of this world. Because there are certain practices and lifestyles of this world that are contrary to the will of God and to the word of God. So we can't just digest every habit, every new fad. We can't just take them all in as Christians and say, well, that's okay. But we have to separate ourselves from some of those habits that are not of God. And I'm here to encourage you this morning that 2023 doesn't have to be a repeat of the former cycle of habits in the year 2022. It's time, I believe, for God's people to stand up and to confront everything that we're facing through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. We've got to confront those things that do not bring glory to God if we are going to grow spiritually this year. And church, this year, we don't have to just sit back and allow those bad habits to continually beat us up, to stop us on the road. Because we are, the Bible says, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare his praises of him who has called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. That is who we are. We are special. We are unique. We have been called and created for a purpose. So we can't just sit back and wallow in self-pity, but we can stand up and yes, we can confront those bad habits. And I love the word here in that Paul uses in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He says, I can do everything. Yeah, can do what I want. That's one of the favorite things young people like to say when they're teenagers, don't they? One day when I grow up, I can do whatever I want, whenever I want, and you won't be able to tell me what I can do. And in like manner, Paul says, I can do what I please, but not everything that I do is beneficial. Some things will not be beneficial if I want to grow spiritually. Some things will not help me to grow this year in Christ. So although I can do them, although I can decide to do them, not everything that I may do is beneficial to my relationship with God. Amen. So as we in closing, just want to share in your sermon notes these 3 points here, that if we're going to deal and to confront the bad habits in our lives, how can we do it? Well, number one, I want to leave with you today, we have to remember who we are in Christ. Can we say that together? Remember who you are. Yes. One of my favorite scenes from the great movie, The Lion King, is when Simba has strayed away from his purpose. And his father comes back to him, Mufasa, in a vision. And he tells him, and he keeps saying, remember who you are. Remember who you are. You are my son. You've strayed away from your purpose. You try to run away from the failures of the past and what you think you've done wrong. But it's time to go back to Pride Rock. Take your rightful place as the king. And church, right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul, in like manner, he is encouraging the church to remember who they were. He says, our bodies are the residing place, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. And he's encouraging them to remember that you have been bought with a price, Carol. That God's Spirit lives within you. So that every anywhere we go, not just when we come to the church building, but every place that we travel, the Holy Spirit goes with us. That is why we cannot compartmentalize church and worship. Worship is never meant just to be for Sunday only. Because wherever we go, church, we take the presence of the Lord with us. Our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that an exciting thought? To know that our bodies, that if we have been indwelt by the Spirit of God, then that means wherever I go, the power of God goes with me. That means, Paul says, you have to remember who you are, because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, you can't just take your body and do everything you please with it. Now, just like the church building, traditionally, culturally, however you want to put it, we know, each and every one of us, we know that there are certain distinctions and certain standards that each of us believe should be upheld in this church building, right? We all have certain standards that we believe is fitting and right for God's church building. We wouldn't come here and just entertain bad and foul language on the premises. Because we would say, hold on a minute, you can't just say that, because this is the house of God, right? We wouldn't just put on the screens just filthy material and movies that's portraying all types of sinful behavior. We wouldn't do that. Why? Because you'd all be saying, you can't show that here. This is the house of God. And rightly so. But the problem is, yes, this is the house of God, but there's also another house of God. Our bodies. Because our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, which means wherever we go, we must still uphold and maintain that same standard that we expect in the church building. Therefore, we cannot just expect a high standard in the church building, but as soon as we walk out the door, it's back to living how we please. Because our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. So the same standards that we expect in God's house is the same standards that the temple of the Holy Spirit should espouse wherever we go. So there shouldn't be a difference between the us in the church and the us outside. Remember who you are. Number two, we have to resolve to make prayer a healthy habit. Yes, there are bad habits, but we can also counteract that with healthy and positive habits. And one of the positive habits that we can embrace is the habit of prayer. Jesus says to his disciples in Mark chapter 14 verse 38, watch and pray lest you fall into temptation. And then he goes on to say, the spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. The spirit wants to do the right thing, but the carnal flesh is weak. That's why when Jesus went a little further to pray and he told them, sit here and watch while I pray, they couldn't stay awake. They slumbered into sleep. He says, couldn't you just watch just for but 1 hour? Couldn't you just watch? Isn't it amazing, friends, that in church sometimes, you know, we don't want to hear too long of a sermon. We don't want to hear the service to go on too long. And I'm in that camp too. But sometimes we can go home and watch our favorite movie, some 2 hours, 3 hours. No problem. Yeah, we can do the things we love and enjoy. Favorite clubs, we never watch the time. No problem. Because we're enjoying ourselves. But when it comes time for prayer, Father, bless us now this day. And yes, thank you for this day. because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And by incorporating a healthy habit and a consistent habit of prayer in our lives, and fasting and other spiritual disciplines, then you and I can develop a consistent, healthy pattern of prayer that can subdue the flesh so that we can come alive to the Spirit of God. So if we're finding it very difficult when we're away from church to pray and to read the Bible, read a couple of verses, it's like, oh man, I'm tired now. You know, I've got to just put my head down for 5 minutes. I'll read the rest later. That could be because the flesh is weak. But by incorporating and building up a consistent pattern, spiritual habits, then we can find that we'll be able to pray more at home. We'll be able to read the Bible and study the Bible and come alive now because our spiritual senses have been fed. They're alive now to the things of the Spirit. So Jesus encouraged his disciples to be watchful and prayerful. And the challenge here is that through the spiritual disciplines of prayer and fasting and studying God's word, we can limit the potential of bad habits by mastering the control of our lives. Third and finally, I'm done. We need to recognize the need for accountability. We need to recognize the need for accountability. Yes, we need to remember who we are in Christ. Yes, we need to resolve to make prayer and other spiritual disciplines a healthy habit to counteract the bad habits. But another good practice for us this year, if we want to grow spiritually, is to come alongside someone you trust so that they can hold you accountable. Yeah. Ask someone to journey with you this year if you don't have someone already. Will you just cover me, be accountable, so that you can hold me accountable? Or maybe you want to do it together, hold each other accountable. Someone to call you up and check on you. How much time have you spent in prayer this week? Someone that you trust to ask those searching questions, those challenging questions that, yes, make us feel uncomfortable, but we need them. Someone that will call you up if you haven't been to church for a couple of weeks and say, where have you been? Are you okay? How are you spiritually? So important to have people like that in your life. I have people like that in my life, many people like that in my life. They will call me up randomly. Nathan, how's it going? How are you spiritually? How is your prayer life? Yes, you're a minister of the gospel, not concerned about that, but how is your spiritual life? It's important to have people like that in our lives that can hold us accountable spiritually. Yes, we recognize first that we're accountable to God, but secondly, we can approach the support of trusted friends and fellow Christians who can help us in our fight against those bad habits. And the Apostle Paul, he uses the example here of the sin of sexual immorality, prostitution, and fornication. He says that you cannot, Corinthian church, join yourself. He says, become one, because the two become one. He says, you cannot become one with a harlot, because by doing so, then you become one, a union with something that is not going to produce spiritual fruit in your life, but it's going to displease God and take you away from where God is calling you to. And that is in like manner to everything in our lives, not just sexual sin. But we have to be careful with being joined together with certain habits, being one with certain practices that are not pleasing to God. Because by doing so, and by those habits forming, then it can lead and develop to becoming a stronghold in our lives, where now that habit has now become a master in our lives, an addiction. It's now mastered us, and that leads to a lack of spiritual growth. So the challenge final challenge this morning. Are we connected to the right sources and the right people? Because even people, there's some people this year that we may have to say, I'm sorry, we can no longer associate. We can no longer have a relationship as a friendship. Because not everyone is encouraging us and leading us in the place of spiritual growth. Some people are not good company. They're bringing us down and further away from where God is calling us. Do our connections endorse bad habits or help us to overcome? You'll know if someone is really right for you as a friend if they endorse bad habits, or whether they challenge you to say, no, come on, let's do something about it. So church, in closing this morning, yes, we have to confront them, those bad habits in our lives. But here is the good news, and as we've been singing throughout the course of this service, God's patience and his grace is so, so beyond measure that his grace is sufficient for each and every one of us. So even if you're here today and you just thought, Nathan, I'm struggling, you know, I have bad habits in my life and I've been trying to quench them, I'm here to encourage you that his grace is sufficient for you. Remember who you are. Recognize the need for prayer and spiritual habits. The third and finally, accountability. We're accountable to God. And yes, even we can be accountable to one another. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and for the challenge to confront those bad habits in our lives. Lord, we recognize that all of us, myself included, we all have habits that are not pleasing to you. And we pray now through your Holy Spirit that you would break those chains. That, Father, you would produce within us those healthy habits. Those healthy habits led by the Spirit that will not gratify the desires of the flesh, oh, but would lead us to fill up our spiritual reservoirs so that we can worship you in spirit and in truth, not just on a Sunday, that each and every day may our walk with you be pleasing in your sight. I pray today, if anyone under the sound of my voice is struggling right now, that Lord, you minister to them right now. Encourage them through your word. And yes, allow them to know that they are the temples of the Holy Spirit. And each and every one of us, wherever we go, we represent you because you are living inside of us. So we glorify you now and give us the power and the grace, we pray, to confront those bad habits. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back. If you do want to meet us for prayer after the service, we have the prayer corner at the back to my right, your left. There'll be some prayer partners there to pray with you. If you need to talk through anything, I'm here. We're accountable for each other. And if you need further prayer, need to talk through anything, then I'm here. Our prayer partners will be here to serve you after the service. God bless you.
And prayer is our focus this week as well. It started last Wednesday and continues through to Wednesday of this week. It's the prayer week for Christian Unity, and there have been services and times for prayer going on throughout the week. And I just need to correct on the back there, on Wednesday the 25th, I've listed the prayer walk as starting at 10 a.m. It doesn't, it's a bit earlier, it starts at 9 a.m. So I just need to correct that. If you're coming to walk and pray down the high street and pray for Christian Unity, it starts at 9 a.m. And we have our Thanksgiving service for Eddie Humphreys too at 4 p.m. here. Everyone is welcome to that service, so do come along and remember Eddie together with her family. Don't forget that we have our all-age service this afternoon at 3:30. And there's also, as I said in the sermon notes, if you've got the stamina, there's a 6:30 service at Holy Trinity this evening for Christian Unity. So you can sort of turn back time and go to church three times today if you would like to. So 3:30 and 6:30 today, and then the prayer walk 9 a.m. on Wednesday morning. Now, I picked a song that we normally only sing at Easter, but the third verse says, "He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood." So it doesn't do any harm to remember this at all year round as well. There is a green hill far away. Let's stand and sing together. Well, bless you for being with us this morning. Do stay behind and have teas and coffees through in the church lounge and have some fellowship, further fellowship together. And let's just pray to close our service. Lord God, we thank you that you have poured out your grace and mercy into our lives. And Lord, let us not take it lightly, but know that we the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we should not be joining that to anything that is unsavory or displeasing to you. So Lord God, be with us as we go out of here. Let us not be Sunday morning only worshippers and Christians. Lord, let it carry through every day and every minute of our lives. And Lord, we thank you that you are with us. And there was no price too difficult for you to pay. So, Lord, we praise you this morning. Amen.